Today's Bible reading is from the book of John, chapter 10, from verses 1 to 18. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never allow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father."
Thanks, Jess. Good morning, everyone. If you keep your Bibles open, that'd be really handy. And there's an outline in front of you. Let me lead us in prayer so that we can be ready for God's word. Father, we thank you today that you are with us. And Father, with this important topic about being a carer, Father, help us to feel your care. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's right to focus care on the struggling and those who are in need, but I think it's appropriate to focus some of our attention to those who care for those who are struggling and those who are needy. So, dear brother or sister, if you are a carer, might I just say that it's just such a blessing to be able to see you bring your care to others. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to think theologically about being a carer, and in particular, thinking theologically about being a Christian carer. How does God see you and what you do? Now, when I say carers, there's a variety that come to mind, and the list I'm going to go through, it's not an indication of importance, so don't see that in it. What do we mean by carers? Well, there are ones who come immediately to mind, people like those who are caring for a child or an adult with a disability, or perhaps someone caring for those with Alzheimer's or dementia. Those fostering children or giving emergency care or looking after those with chronic mental illness or even those with cancer. Now, you're thinking about carers in our community, we think maybe about those ones. But there are other ones, other examples might not come immediately to mind, but they care in big ways. Those who look after their elderly parents or their elderly grandparents, those, like a couple of weeks ago, those who look after widows in our care, but also those who look after children. You know, you parents out there looking after children, there is big care happening right there. Looking after those, for example, also the lonely ones, ones who go through loss, the list goes on. There is a spectrum. There's quite a variety when it comes to who are the ones doing the care, whether in big ways or in small ways. Blessed are the carers, I say. Now, if you had a wish, if you're a carer and you had a wish list for the people that you're caring for, I wonder what would be on that wish list. What would be on that wish list? Here are some of mine. One of my wishes in the list is to be around for them when they need me, so that they never feel alone. I wonder whether that's on your wish list. Or to be able to give them good advice, directing them to the best course of action and the best supports. Perhaps that's on your list. Or to help them make good decisions that'll actually lead to good outcomes that will be worth it in the end. How about to point them to the light at the end of the tunnel, that the suffering will eventually end and that their bodies will heal, restore, and renew? I told you it was a wish list, right? It's a long wish list here. How about to survive through this all as their carer? That's also a wish in our wish list. I've certainly wished all these things for those I care for. I think the key to this topic is to understand and grasp that Jesus is the ultimate carer, right? To grasp that Jesus is the ultimate carer. He's pastorally caring for us directly, but also working through us to care for one another. And if we grasp this, what will happen is that hopefully we'll avoid two things. We'll avoid overconfidence on one hand, and then also avoid feeling overwhelmed on the other. That's the hope. So to think through the theology of being a carer, I'd like us to consider three things. Number one, Jesus' care and command. Number two, Jesus being the ultimate carer. And thirdly, caring with Jesus. You'll see that reflected in your outline there, and there are some additional Bible verses there also, so you'll need to have your outline in front of you. So firstly, let's have a look at Jesus' care and command. One of the key ways a Christian is recognized is by our love. And it comes from, there's a passage that didn't quite, this first couple of ones didn't end up in the outlines, unfortunately. But there's one in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, for those note takers. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." John 13. People see our trust in Jesus working itself out by our love for one another. Notice it's not just any kind of love, but a love like that of Jesus. So first and foremost, this kind of love is not a love that we prefer to give or a love that the person you're caring for prefers. It's actually love in the way that Jesus gives love. God coming to earth in the person of Jesus, washing the feet of his disciples and serving us. That's how we are to love, with the same humble service of one another his way. Before we give love and care to another, consider how we have been loved by God. So the next passage, 1 John chapter 3, 16 to 18. 1 John 3, 16 to 18, it says this. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." They're big things, aren't they? Jesus cared for us with nothing less than his very life. So when we consider the big needs of others in our care, remember that the biggest needs that we have ourselves, they have been met by Jesus. When we grasp his tremendous care for us, then we are ready. It's only then that we are ready to love the way that Jesus loved, to love with our time and our possessions and our words. In fact, we can't help but do so, for it is at the very core of who we are. We are a loved people giving love to others. Did you hear the weight of the verses here? When it says we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's big love, right? That's big sacrifice. So when we ask who it is that is a carer amongst us, I hope you're getting an answer here. Who are the carers amongst us? Here is God's answer. We are all carers, for we are all to love like Jesus in big ways. Now, at the same time, there are certainly caring roles that are a greater challenge compared to others, so I want to acknowledge that. But when we consider those big challenges, I wonder whether we can be easily discouraged and feel inadequate for the task, and frankly, at points, out of our depth. There is good news for us. There is good news for us. The good news is that Jesus is the ultimate carer. He is the ultimate carer. Our Bible reading, John chapter 10, tells us that we couldn't ask for a better carer to look out for us. Jesus, the shepherd, is perfectly good, verse 10, just like his Father. He knows each and every one of his sheep, verse 14. So he knows each and every one of us here, if we trust in Jesus. He gives up his life, verse 15, so that his sheep can have eternal life with Jesus and his Father. Verse 16, he is always looking out for others to join his family. And we, his sheep, we hear his voice and we know him. That is, Jesus speaks to us. He draws us together and to himself. And when one sheep care for another sheep, just realize the voice that we're all longing to hear the most. I mean, your voices, when you do sing, they sound heavenly at points, right? They're great. But you got to hear that despite our sweet voices, the voices that actually people of God long to hear is actually the voice of Jesus. That is the voice whom we recognize and that we crave after. Sometimes I see fathers around having looking after their little children. And sometimes I look at the eyes of desperation sometimes because the child is crying and nothing would console the child. And it didn't matter how much he carries or speaks or sings or pat or bounces or push in a stroller. The only way his child was going to stop crying was when she hears the voice of mommy. That's right. That's right. I remember here, they'll just see those glittery eyes kind of filled with tears and then they just light up when they get to hear the voice of mommy just behind her. The sweet words we, as Jesus' sheep, want to hear are those that are from our shepherd. That's when we feel safe, that's when we feel loved, and that's when we feel happy. And sometimes we just need to point out that Jesus is already speaking to us through his word, and just to point it out to show that he has been around. Jesus is the ultimate carer, and it is his caring voice that his people long to hear. Now, we all know what, just because we speak encouraging words to people, it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll land and that people will actually receive it. Oh, how we might wish that we could just send a text message directly into someone's heart and you get a notification saying delivered and read and love. Oh, that we wish we could do that. Well, Jesus may not have a mobile that does that, but he has something better, for he has his Spirit. So in your leaflets, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." Isn't it just amazing that God can do that? Jesus' sheep has Jesus' Spirit. Those words that we need to hear of comfort and reassurance and of encouragement, of perseverance, sometimes even of correction and rebuke, of hope. He makes sure we receive it through his Spirit. It'd be impossible otherwise. We are able to do so because of his Spirit. So when we care for others, not only are they looking out for Jesus' words, we can be confident that they can receive it, understand it, and even love it. It should make us realize that the words that are going to have the greatest impact in caring for each other as Christian carers are actually God's words. Jesus is the ultimate carer because he gives his spirit. There is deep darkness that confronts God's people at points, and God the shepherd wants his sheep to know that he is present through it. Just like his father in Psalm 23, in shepherding his people, this is how Jesus thinks and is present with us. So Psalm 23, some of you can probably recite the psalm. It says in your leaflets, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is written by King David. And King David's darkness, while his version is filled with enemies wanting to kill him. And our darkness might consist of different threats, but the reality is, when the Lord is my shepherd, it still applies. We lack nothing. I wonder whether you've ever been in pitch darkness. You know, the kind of darkness where even if you put your hand in front of your face, you can't actually even see your hand. That kind of darkness. And you're walking outside for whatever reason in this darkness. You're walking outside and in a field, and then you hear this growl. What how you feel when that happens? How afraid you might feel about where that growl is coming from and how big that animal might be. But then there's a gentle, familiar whisper in your ear, and it says, "Don't be afraid. I'm still here. I haven't gone." And you hold on to his strong arms, and he's got his staff to guide you and beat off that ferocious animal. But this shepherd is kitted out, right, because he's got night vision goggles. So he knows he can see beyond and see where the right path is going to be. He knows where the green pastures are, the quiet waters where our soul is going to be refreshed, and not just thirst quenching, mind you, soul refreshing. God is present with us during the times of trouble, and he's always been there. It's not as if he goes missing once in a while. No, he's always present with us. He is right here with us even now. Jesus is the ultimate carer because he is unceasingly present with his people. Now, as Jesus lives in us, he draws us to his hope. The green pastures and the quiet waters for Christians means more than a nice block of land. What it means is new birth and salvation for our souls. So in 1 Peter 1, in your leaflets, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Did you pick up how determined God is for you to receive your inheritance of salvation? Did you pick up how determined he is? He's prepared his inheritance, and he keeps it established, unmoved, unspoiled, unfading. It is not going anywhere. And he's working in us to get us there, even through our trials. Through the trials, he refines our faith, our trust in Jesus, so that we make it to our inheritance. So he's not just showing us where to go and say, "Well, you're on your own to get there." What he does is that he accompanies and he works, and he makes sure that you get to be where you're supposed to be, the salvation of your souls. Jesus is the ultimate carer. It is a salvation that involves no more suffering or pain or tears, where we receive resurrection bodies with no more disabilities, but only the abilities that God had intended. There'll be no more hospitals and cemeteries and psychiatrists, sorry for the psychiatrists out there, or rehabilitation centers, or no more wheelchairs, no more walking frames, No more defibrillators everywhere that you can walk past. You won't need them. You won't need them. Just an eternity in paradise with our Creator and Savior, Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate carer because he's the one with proper hope. Jesus is this awesome carer. And what he does, I think a little bit surprisingly, is that he gets us involved with his work of caring and comforting. So you look in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." See, we are to take that compassion and comfort that we receive from Jesus and we're to pass it on to others, such that people feel the love of Christ through the members of his body, through you. Notice that it actually presumes that we have our own troubles and needs for comfort ourselves. I think sometimes we think about Christian carers and there's this group of people here who are the Christian carers and they don't have any troubles. You know, they've all got life all together. You know, they're always smiling. And, you know, things just come on going really well, and it's just got this superhuman strength and ability just for the cope of it all. They're the Christian carers. And then on the other side, there's the people who need the care. Like, they're the ones who are struggling. They're the ones in tears. They're the ones who have the needs. And the job of the Christian carers on this side over here is to care for all those people over here who's got all the needs. Except it doesn't exist. There's no people here who've got all of life perfect. Every one of us, even if you are a carer in big ways, we have our own troubles. We have our own needs. We need that comfort from Jesus just as much as the person whom we might care for. You see, it's members here with our very own worries and concerns, caring for others with worries and concerns, all sheep encouraging each other to turn to the shepherd. I know that there are exceptions to this, especially when some of the troubles are on the extreme end, that it prevents some from caring for others, even if it is for just a little while. But unless we don't correct our expectations, none of us are going to get any care because everyone's kind of waiting for the people who have got it all together to care for us. In fact, it's the people who have troubles and know that they're needy who will be the first to know that they haven't got it all together and they actually need the shepherd. Sharing that comfort actually helps the sharer too. It's supposed to be a mutually loving process. Jesus is the ultimate carer. I hope you can see that he lays down his life for his sheep and that he speaks to us. He gives us his spirit so that we receive his words. He is always present with us and guiding us. And he refines our faith until we get to be with him forever. And he calls us to care for others in big ways with the care that we have received from him. I hope you've seen that Jesus is the ultimate carer, that he involves us with his care. But now what we want to have a look at is, what does that look like as we care with Jesus? What does it look like to be caring with Jesus? Well, for us as carers, that's all of us, whether it's in big ways or in small ways. The first thing is to receive his care. You know, our giving can only be possible by our receiving from him. Perhaps that's not too much of an overstatement to say that the extent of our caring is bound to the extent of our receiving from Jesus. Can you see that? So drink deep the love that Jesus gives, his sacrifice, his salvation, his guidance, his spirit, his presence, his hope, his comfort. The Bible passages that I've listed in your outline, they are for you. They are for you. In whatever way that you are caring for others, they are for you. So drink it in. At those points when, you know, you feel overwhelmed, and I know at points you do, When at points you feel overwhelmed, know this. There is no cry so loud that it can deafen our Lord. And there is no cry so soft that it does not get amplified before him. He hears it all. So cry out to him. He sees every act of love you give, and he receives it as if you had directed it to him. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. You know that time that you cancelled your holiday so that you could be present with a loved one who really needed your care? Yeah, Jesus saw that. When you drove a person who couldn't sleep, drove her around at midnight, Jesus was awake for that. Every spoonful of food you fed her when she had lost the ability to feed herself, it was as if you were feeding Jesus himself. Those times when you advocated for him, when everyone else gave up, Jesus loved you through it. When you chose to meet someone with grace and forgiveness, despite the insults you received, Jesus did that for you and me. There is no godly wish you have for someone you love that Jesus hasn't already given to us. Jesus offers his care. You know, for those of us who aren't Christian yet, and you're just trying to work out what Christianity looks like and who this Jesus is, I hope you get a picture here of one who cares. One who wants to stick around to care for you unto eternity. That's the Lord that we have. And if you ever see an example of a person here, of a Christian that you meet, and you wonder how it is that they can actually give such care with the strength that they do, here's the secret. It's not our strength. Never has been. It's always been the strength of Jesus. Thinking theologically about being a carer is all centered on Jesus being our ultimate carer. So receive his care. Now, when it comes to passing on his care as a Christian carer, what I've tried to show you is that we're not on our own. Jesus hasn't left. He is still present and doing his work of shepherding his flock. So here's what it can look like to be able to give care to others. Since it's Jesus' voice that we long to hear most, make sure that we listen to his voice together when we give care. Bring your Bibles along. You know, those Bible passages that's been so encouraging and so comforting to you, bring them along and share them with each other. Just as the Bible passages in the outline are for you, they are actually also for those of you to bring to the people whom you care for. Do so respectfully and gently. You'll need to use your wisdom as to which passages and which verses might be really helpful and might be suitable. We need God's Spirit to impress his words into our hearts and wills, right? So what does it look like when we care with Jesus? It looks like prayer. It looks like turning to God and praying to him according to his will to do what he has promised to do, to be with us, to instill his hope, to give us his comfort. Pray. You know, I think one of the things that that I find that is most encouraging to people when I go visit people in their need, I think it's got to do with God's presence. It's got to do with God's presence. So I find myself saying something like this. I say, brother, sister, I want you to know that Jesus sees your pain. It has not escaped him. He sees it. And he is stuck around. He has not left you. In fact, he longs for you to hear his voice. So may I share some of his words to you, words of assurance and words of hope. I've yet to have someone say to me, no thanks. I'm pretty sure it's one of those things that actually when I'm gone, it's been the most encouraging for them. Not my words, but the words of Jesus. There's much to be said about the practicalities of giving care, but when it comes to Christian care, It has to involve the care that Jesus gives. I mean, don't get me wrong. The practicalities are really important. But what makes Christian care Christian is that Jesus is involved. It's one sheep meeting another sheep, pointing together to the Good Shepherd. When it comes to those of us who give major care to others, the other thing I've seen that's really helpful, besides the fact that you care with Jesus, I think it's the getting together of people going through the same kind of challenges or similar challenges and sharing some of the tips and some of the lessons that they've learnt. Whether it is navigating the public system or working out which specialist to go for, what I've seen is that people get together, and I've already seen examples of this even in our church, of people just sharing resources, and that's really helpful. Look for those opportunities when you see them coming up. Remember that God wills that all people love others in a mutual way. We are all carers before Jesus because we have all received his care. The place that we do that as a church, with the Bible open, with prayers, with the sharing of resources and time, that's why we have growth groups. Every time you turn up to your growth group, what you are saying is, I am committed to the other members of my growth group. It's why our groups aren't just social groups on the one hand, and then neither are they Bible classes on the other. They are groups which receive the care of Jesus together, such that we can pass it on to the ones whom we love. If you want a resource that's really helpful to think through what that kind of love can look like in practical ways, there is a suggestion at the bottom of your outline. It is Sally Sims' Together Through the Storm, so I commend that to you. If we have a Lord and Savior who continues to give his care, and we do, then something we can look out for are the results of his care. Look out for them. When you care with Jesus and his word and his presence, look out for the results. When you see people being encouraged by his hope, praise God for it. When you see people receive his guidance and comfort, thank God for it. Do it together. When you yourselves feel your tanks being filled by him, that is Jesus doing his thing. Give glory to God. On the other hand, don't be discouraged when we don't see the results that we want immediately, because God has his timing. His perfect solution, after all, is for his kingdom to come. It is coming soon. It is coming soon. But we might have to wait. We should acknowledge that there's a limit as to the care that we can give. God doesn't want us to burn out because we've extended beyond our capacity. Remember that knowing Jesus as the ultimate carer is supposed to protect us from the two extremes. On the one hand, it protects us from thinking that we're on our own and we have nothing to give. No, we do. It protects us, on the other hand, from thinking it's all up to us, because it's never been all up to us. The primary carer of God's people has always been the shepherd that is Jesus. I visited someone in hospital with final stages of terminal cancer a few years ago. Now, what was I going to say? I'm at her bedside, and she's only got a few hours, perhaps even a few days to live. What was I going to say that was going to be encouraging? What was I going to say that was going to be helpful at that moment? I listened as lovingly as I could. I reflected her thoughts back to her. I avoided the prejudgments or the quick solutions. Who needs that? But I felt so limited in what I can do to give some meaningful care. And I was already feeling my own worries and my own concerns. I was desperate for her to feel hope and comfort and assurance in Jesus, for her pain to stop, and that she'd have someone by her side through it all. And what I discovered, though, was that despite her frailty, she had all those things. She had all those things. For she had this deep dependence upon Jesus, And she was looking forward to meeting her Savior. Here I was, trying to work out what to say to a dear sister in Christ at her deathbed, coming up with zilch. And God had already turned up. He'd already turned up with the hope and the encouragement and the solution to her frail body. I felt like one sheep talking to another sheep, realizing that we're all being shepherded by the best shepherd of all. All the things I ever wanted for her to think and feel had already been worked on. She joined Jesus not very long after my visit. And I'm sure, I'm confident that she feels Jesus' presence and love, her ultimate carer, for the rest of her eternal life. How about we pray? Father, we give you praise for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is the ultimate carer. For he has assured us of hope, assured us of the result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And Father, he promises to be continuing on present with us with his Spirit. Thank you that you don't leave us to our own devices and our own strength. And that actually, as we seek to care big for one another, we can do so with his strength, with his words, with his comfort. And so, Father, we want to lay ourselves before him and glory in him. We pray this in his name. Amen.